heard a great message at youth conference out of Colossians on Jesus and having the preeminence. And I was, as Nick was singing that, he was with us at youth conference. I was thinking of that message that we heard. And it's really all about Jesus. Everything, all that we are and all that we'll ever be is wrapped up by him and for him. All things consist. That he has preeminence. That man said, was talking about preeminence, and sometimes we think about preeminence, we want to put him in the first place. And he said, it's not Jesus and then the church and the home and the you know, family and work and all, you know, the list. He said, it's Jesus in the home. It's Jesus in the church. It's Jesus at work. It's Jesus in your family. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's not, Jesus is first, don't get me wrong, but it's not Jesus and then, it's Jesus and. It's always Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and so thank God for Jesus, amen. I want to ask a question before I get started tonight, and I'm going to get right to my message. I know we got a time limit here, and we're going to get there. I have confidence in that tonight. But my children have been making fun, one of them in particular. They were doing it this way on the way to church this morning. And I want to ask if I'm the only one this way. They asked this morning, I wonder if you're the only one this way. They said, are you the only person that just goes out to see how the roads are? Is there any other men here that tomorrow at some point, okay, look around, children, look around. Okay, it's a dad thing, okay. Is there some women that'll do it? Okay, there's a couple, all right, there's a couple women that are going to do it. My kids make fun because about midday tomorrow, they know. I said, they're like, we're going to stay home tomorrow, we got school, we're just going to hang around the house. And then Lydia said, yeah, but dad's going to have to go out and check the roads, see how the roads are. And they think that's like, you know, that I'm weird. I think that was the word. Somebody said, that's so weird. I said, that's not weird, that's normal. That's dad stuff right there, right? Got to go see how the roads are. And so, got to get out of the house. Go do smart things, right? That's right. When Pastor said, don't do nothing dumb, I was thinking, I wonder what qualifies, right? Because, just giving a little gas and seeing what it does, does that qualify as dumb? It might, right? Take the two-wheel drive instead of the four-wheel drive and see how the roads are. Make it a little interesting, right? But I figured a bunch of you would, and I'm looking forward to the snow, and I'm looking forward to going out and checking the roads and seeing how they are. So maybe I don't ever post anything on social media. Maybe when I get back, I'll post on social media how the roads are up in Greene County. Anyway, let's get into the message tonight. Pastor put a little pressure on me. He said, Brother David's going to teach us what this passage means, and it's a lot here. And he's right, it is a lot here. I do believe that I don't even know. Pastor preached through James, but it was on Wednesday nights, and I wasn't in here. And I had every intention of actually listening to your message, Pastor. And we were at youth conference this week, and I didn't get to. But I believe that Pastor and I will agree on this. I do believe that because I believe it's the truth. And so I'm going to try to give you what I believe James is teaching in this past scripture. If you don't realize, you say, I don't even understand the big deal about this past scripture. If you don't realize it, this section in James, I don't know that I realized it as much until I began my study as I do now. This section of scripture in James has literally split denominations. This section of scripture has divided the church. And when I say the church, the body of Christ, over what it teaches in many ways. This section is used by many people to teach a works salvation. And we're going to get into that here in a little bit in the message. But it's just a very controversial section of scripture. And it's very popular section of scripture. These verses of scripture are quoted many times. Many of us can quote by memory some of these sections of scripture, but they're very controversial. To the extent that there were some men, some of you have heard the name of Luther. He's one of the one of the reformers. And Luther at one time, I think later in his life, he actually changed his position a little bit and accepted the book of James. But there was a time where Luther didn't believe that James belonged in the canon of Scripture. He said it was a straw. It was a book that was made for the fireplace, and it's because of these verses of Scripture that we're going to look at. And so they're kind of controversial scriptures. But the thing is that I don't understand is I think they're pretty clear. I really do, and I'm not the type of person that only tries to look at it from one angle. I can be a skeptical person. I like to look into things, and I like to hear other sides. And so as I prepared for this message, I looked at the other side and what they believe and why they believe what they believe. And I still come to the conclusion that it's very clear what James is teaching. Now, I'm not going to give it all to you tonight because God's word is rich and it's deep and it's powerful. And there's more here than I could give to you in one night, probably more here than I could give to you in a month, definitely more here than I'm even capable of giving to you. But I want to just kind of make it fairly simple, and I believe that we'll still get the main point of what James is trying to teach here. And so that's my goal tonight. My message, if I had to give a title to my message, it would be this: Faith Works. Faith works. I believe when I started this series, the first message I preached, Mariah had asked me for the website, did I have a title to my series in the book of James? And I said, if I had one, that would be it. Faith works. We already saw in chapter 1, faith works for the trials of life. Faith works for the temptations of life, right? Faith works for every aspect and every area of our lives. Faith works. And I believe that that's what James is teaching here in the book of James, but even particularly in these sections of Scripture. Now, there's many others. Some people believe the theme of James is to grow up. It's spiritual maturity. And there's a lot of reasons. It could be many different topics that would define the book of James. But I personally believe that those two words describe it pretty well. Faith works. And so that's what I want to look at tonight is that topic of faith works. And so I want to look at three types of faith that we see here in the book of James. And the first one is this: a professed faith. A professed faith. Or you can say it this way: a proclaimed faith. Look at verse number 14. Verse 14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man," and look at it, "say." You see that? He says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works?" Can faith save him? He's saying, can that kind of faith save him? We know faith can save a man, right? We know it's by grace are you saved through faith, okay? James is not disputing the fact of a faith salvation, right? And we'll get into that a little bit near the end of the message. But he's saying a proclaimed faith, a professed faith. Can that kind of faith save a man? I believe he's kind of teaching what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord," right? It's not enough just to say, right? So he says there's a proclaimed faith or a professed faith. James says there is a type of faith where someone says something, right? Look at verse number 16. It says, "And one of you," look at it, "and one of you say unto them," right? I should have read the rest of verse 15. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them," James is really emphasizing saying something. And what James is saying is something that we've all heard said. He's saying, talk is cheap. Right? I literally think that phrase, that we've all heard that before, talk is cheap, it may have came from the Bible. I mean, do you see what he said in verse number 14? What doth it profit? When you think of profit, you think of something worth value, right? When you think of profit, when you think of your profit sharing or the profit that you'll make on a job, you're thinking of something that has value. That's what profit is. James says, what doth it profit a man though he say? He says, if all you do is say that you have faith, he says, that's cheap. He says, talk is cheap. It's not enough just to say that you're a Christian. It's not enough in verse number 16 just to say. If one of you say unto them, depart in peace. You see, there's a need here, and this person has a need. I find it interesting, the example that James gives, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it kind of goes back to what we looked at last week. There must have been an issue in the church there in this day, right? Look at verse number 2 of chapter number 2. He said, if one come into your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. There must have been an issue with how they were treating poor people in James's day.
And so James is addressing those issues, right? And he's using, again, in chapter number 2, another illustration. I personally don't believe that this is an actual event. It could have been. It's probably happened. James could have probably used many actual examples, but I don't think he's using an actual example. I think he's using an illustration, just like he's done throughout this entire letter and will continue to do. He's illustrating the truth that he's trying to teach, and he's talking about a professed faith, a proclaimed faith. He's saying talk is cheap. We've all talked to people who say they have faith, right? You've talked to people. You ask them, are they a Christian? They say, yes, I'm a Christian. How do you sometimes if you don't push it beyond that, that's all there is. They say, you say, how would you define that? How did you become a Christian? That's hard, isn't it? That's a hard, you got to think about what you say before you say something to someone. You say, are you a Christian? They say yes. And then you're kind of like, oh, don't start with that question. Okay. There's a better place to start than are you a Christian? Right. But you can find a way to take the conversation a little further. You say, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Well, if you don't mind, can you tell me how you became one? And what you'll find many times is that there's a lot of people that have a professed faith. They say they're a Christian. But if you begin to start to dig, you will find out that that's all there is a profession. They may say, and even some are good at saying it. There may be some here tonight that way. They talk a good game. They've been in church long enough, right? Some people have grown up around church. Some people have grown up in church. Some people have grown up around church. And they say the right things. They know how to talk the talk. They can call you brother. They know the Christian lingo, right? They know all the words to say. And so James says there's those people, they have a professed faith. They have a proclaimed faith. But James is saying, though they may say some things, he says, your talk is cheap. It's useless without works. That's what James is saying. And so number one, we see a proclaimed faith, right? I really think there's a connection here to what we looked at last week. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 2. I told you a lot of people don't think that James has got a running thought, and I just can't see how they don't see it. I do think James kind of touches on some different subjects like we all would. Even in this message, I'm gonna kind of take it in different directions. But look at chapter 2, verse 1. He said, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Now in verse number 14, he says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith? What kind of faith? The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. That same faith that James was talking about in verse number 1 when he said, you know, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. And now he's talking about that faith, that same faith, that faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. James says, some may say they have faith, he says, and it's just a professed faith. It's just a proclaimed faith. And then number 2, so we see first the professed faith. Number 2, I want to show you a powerless faith, right? So James showed us in verse number 14, a professed faith, a man say. Now he's going to talk about a powerless faith, which those two could be connected. And he's going to give us some examples of a powerless faith. Look at verse number 15. And I already read this to you, but it says, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? James says that's useless. That's powerless. A faith that is only in word and not in deed is cheap. It has no value, right? And so James is giving them an example of that powerless faith, a faith that is dead, right? That's what he says. That's kind of the theme here. He says in verse number 17, he says, well, verse 16, he said, what doth it profit? Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. That faith that does not go into action, that faith that just says to a brother, you know, says to him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give not those things which are needful to the body. Basically, you say, well, you know, God bless you. I'll be praying for you, but I'm not going to help you, right? No action involved with that faith. James says that kind of faith, he's giving an illustration, example. He says that kind of faith ain't going to help nobody. A faith that just talks and doesn't act is useless. You understand what I'm saying, right? He's saying, what good have you done for that person? That person that comes in and they have a need, they're poor, and they have a need of food and clothing, and they ask you, and you see that brother or sister in need, and you have a way to help them, and you don't help them, but you say, God bless you, I hope things work out for you. Have you helped them any? No. That's useless. That's pointless. Now, we could say if you say, I'm going to pray for you, and you truly pray for them, you're helping them. But James is using this as an illustration. He's saying, look, if you just tell somebody, well, you know, depart in peace, good luck, and you don't do anything, he says, that's pointless. That's profitless. That's useless. That's vain. And he goes on to say, that's dead, right? Faith without works is dead. He says, that's powerless Christianity. He gives us another example in verse number 19. Look at verse number 19. Well, verse number 18, let's look at that. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that means, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. James is saying a faith that doesn't do anything is a dead faith. It's a powerless faith. It's a profitless faith. It's a cheap, useless faith. A faith that does not act. A faith that does not work is pointless. And James gives the example that he gave of that poor person that came in, but he also gives the example of the devils. He said, the devils believe and they tremble. Can I ask you, brethren, are the devils saved? That's not a trick question. No, the devils are not saved. That's interesting. It says they believe. I think of the story where Jesus, and it's happened numerous times, where Jesus came to that maniac of Gadara, right? And Jesus come, and what did they say? They said, I don't know it word by word. I didn't even read it this afternoon, but you know the story where they basically said, depart from us. Or, you know, they asked Jesus, we know who thou art, the Son of God, right? They knew who Jesus was. And they asked Jesus, can you please don't send us to our place before our time? So they believed, right? They knew who Jesus was. And there's many examples of that in the New Testament where the devils believe. They know who Jesus is. They know he's the Son of God. But their belief doesn't turn into action. You say, uh-oh, Brother David, you're teaching a work salvation. No, I'm not. I'm going to get to that here in a minute. I'm just telling you this. Faith works. It's not a work salvation. It's a salvation that works. But you can believe and not have faith. The devils believe. I think there's many people, I think we all know them. I think we probably got them in our families, where if you were to back them into a corner and you were to ask them, do they believe in God? They would say yes. Do they believe in Jesus Christ? They would say yes. But if that belief has never produce a work, then that faith is powerless. Okay? I hope you understand what I'm saying. Pastor said you have to talk slow tonight to make sure. I don't want anybody to get confused here. I'm not preaching against faith salvation by grace through faith. Okay? I'm not teaching that by no means, nor is James. And that's the division. Some people think James is teaching a work salvation, and it's in opposition to what Paul taught, which was a salvation by faith through grace, and they're not teaching two separate things. One man said this. He said, James and Paul are not opponents. A lot of people believe they're opponents. That some people believe that actually James says, oh, vain man, he's talking about Paul. That's so silly. That he's saying, oh, vain man, oh, foolish man. He's talking about the Apostle Paul because Paul was teaching a different way of salvation. Some people believe that. That's crazy to me. Some people believe that James is trying to correct Paul, and then that in Galatians and in Romans, Paul is trying to correct James, and that's crazy. One, because it's the Scripture, and the Bible never contradicts itself. But two, James and Paul, all you got to do, I don't understand somebody can even get to that conclusion. All they need to read is Acts chapter 15. Paul came to the council there, and James was overseeing, this same James was overseeing the council, and they agreed. And they still agree. And so some people think that they're in opposition right here. And one man gave it like this, and I liked what he said. He said, Paul and James are not opponents. They actually are two men that are back-to-back fighting two different opponents. James and Paul are backed up back-to-back, and James is fighting this opponent, and Paul's fighting that opponent, but they're both fighting for the same thing. They're just fighting from a different place. They're fighting against a different person. They're fighting against a different belief and a different teaching. And so they're teaching the same thing. They're just teaching it from two different angles. And I think it's very clear that's what's going on here. And so James is talking about a powerless of faith, a faith that has no effect. So I said he gave him some examples of powerless faith. And then he gives us the effect or the emptiness of powerless faith. It does nothing. Those devils believe, but it didn't get them saved. Right? They believe, they tremble. They know there's a God, and they are afraid of that God. But because they've never truly had faith in that God, it's never produced any works in their life. I know many people like that. I'd say you do. People that believe in God. I know that's hard. It's hard for our minds to wrap around that someone could believe in God. But if they've never truly trusted and repented of their sin and trusted Christ as their Savior, they can believe in God. But if they've never had saving faith, all they have is a professed faith. They've never had a saving faith. They have a powerless faith because real faith goes to work. Faith works. And that's what James is teaching. So we see a proclaimed faith or a professed faith. Then we see a powerless faith here in verses 15 down through verse number 20. And then last, and I think this is the key to the message, and I'm going to be done, and that is this, a proven faith. A proven faith. I believe that's what James, that's the main point of what James is trying to teach here. He's saying some people have a professed faith. They say they're saved. They say that they have faith, but he says they have not works. That faith is dead. Some people have a powerless faith, and it's the same as that professed faith. It doesn't have works to go along with it. And James says that faith, it's powerless, it's empty, it's vain, it's dead, it's not real faith. It's not pure religion that he was talking about in chapter 1 and verse number 26. It's not that religion. It's not pure religion. It's false religion. It's fake religion. He says, but there is a proven faith. And I believe that's what James is talking about here. And James gives us, some examples of proven faith. Look at verse number 21. He's going to start talking about proven faith. He says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Verse 24 is the verse that gets everyone. And I hope I can help you understand what it means here in just a moment. Verse 24 says this, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. This is where a lot of people will say, it's works. You got to have faith and works to be truly saved, to be justified. And many people teach that, a work salvation. And you say, well, it kind of sounds like you're teaching it, Brother David. Well, just stick, hang on. So he gives us the example of Abraham. Then he gives the example of Rahab. Look at verse number verse number 25. Likewise, also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? And then he goes on. I didn't use this verse earlier, but I had it wrote down. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That was another example of powerless faith. He gave us the example of the devils. He also gave us the example of the body. He said the body without the spirit is dead, right? He says, so is faith without works. A body that doesn't have a spirit can't do anything. So is faith that has not works. It's powerless. It can't do anything. And so he gave us examples of proven faith. He gave us Abraham and Rahab, some say the patriarch and the prostitute. Why did he choose Abraham and Rahab? It's very interesting, and there's many different reasons why people think that he chose Abraham and Rahab. I personally, I kind of fall here. I think he gave a Jew and a Gentile. Abraham's the father of the Jews. He's the father of the Hebrew nation. That's who God, he called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He said, I'm gonna make a great nation of thee. And he used Abraham as an example. And he said, just in case one of the Gentiles in the church thinks this is just a Jewish thing, he said, let me tell you about Rahab, who was a Gentile, who was outside of the commonwealth of Israel. But when Joshua and them went into Jericho, Rahab was justified the same way that Abraham was justified, and it was by faith. You say, well, I thought he said it was by works. Well, we're getting there. Can I ask you this? Did Rahab and Abraham both believe God before the events that are mentioned here? Abraham offered Isaac, I think it's Genesis 22. Genesis 15, verse number 6, I wrote it down. I want you to get this verse. Genesis 15, verse 6 says, talking about Abraham, and he believed in the Lord and counted it to him for righteousness. So Genesis 15, Abraham believed in the Lord, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Sounds like to me Abraham was saved. Doesn't it to you? Why was he saved? Because he believed. What is believing? Faith. Abraham had faith. He believed God. Can I tell you, I think Rahab did too. We got time. I mean, it's quarter till. We'll be done by 7. I said 7:15. We'll be done by 7. Go to Joshua chapter number 2 real quick. I think James is he's taken into account that everyone knows what I'm saying right here, okay? As he's teaching what he's teaching, he's saying, you know, these people know about Father Abraham. They know Abraham believed God in Genesis 15, okay? They didn't need James to teach them that. They knew that. And I believe they knew that Rahab believed before she sent the spies out another way. Look at Joshua. I said Joshua, didn't I? I hope so. Joshua chapter 2. Look at verse number 9. It says, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard, that's interesting, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? You get faith by hearing. Rahab heard. We have heard how that the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites and that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. All right, we got two different people here. We got all the people that heard it, their hearts melted. You with me? Kind of like those demons, they believe God and they tremble. I bet you if you study that word did melt and you study that word tremble in James chapter 2, you're going to find they're real closely connected. Their hearts melted for fear when they heard about the Lord, right? Look at verse number 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. And look at this. He said, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Can I tell you what? You can go back to James. Rahab already believed. Okay? She had heard about God, and she said, your God is God. Your God is the Lord God. And so Rahab already had belief. She already had faith. So what is James talking about? Because I don't believe James is saying that she got saved when he says in chapter 2, you're back in chapter number 2, he says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. I don't think James is saying that's when she got saved. She got saved when she believed. When she had a faith that in God, in who God was and what he was going to do, and she placed that faith in him, that's when she got saved. And so what is he saying? He gives an example of proven faith, and then he gives us the effect of proven faith. Both of these examples believed, and it affected their behavior. You see, the other people, she said, we heard. There was a lot of people in Jericho that had heard, and all of their hearts melted for fear. They all trembled and were scared because of the children of Israel, because of their God, but not all of them acted on it. Not all of them had a real faith, a genuine faith, a pure religion like what James is talking about. They had a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. I heard a pastor say many years ago, and I think he heard it said when he was a younger Christian, a lot of people are 18 inches from hell. That's how far it is from about how far. Some people's heads bigger than others. Mine might be a little more than 18, right? That's how far it is from here to here, about 18 inches, right? And some people are that far from hell. They've got it up here. They're like those devils. They believe in God, and they tremble at the thought of him. They're fearful. They're in awe at the fact that there's a God and that one day they're going to have to stand before him, but they've never got it in here. And when it gets in here, you know what happens? It works. It works. See, I had it up here for some time in my life. I don't know that there was ever a real time in my life that I didn't believe there was a God. Now, I didn't understand all the details of it. I didn't grow up in church, but I went to Bible schools, and I remember Pastor Lamb picking us up and taking us over to the Bible club when I was in primary and elementary school. I remember getting a little New Testament for reciting the 23rd Psalm, and I remember making a profession of faith at the war games down at United Christian Academy in the 80s. That wasn't that long ago, was it? Right? And I remember those things. But you know what I had was a head knowledge. I believed that there was a God. And if you really backed me in a corner, I probably trembled because of it. I tried to act like I didn't. I think many people do. You back them into a corner, you let them stare death in the face, you'll find out. They believe and they tremble. But genuine faith goes to work. It makes a change. Brother Jimmy mentioned that promise this morning. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What is that? That's faith works. Faith works. Faith goes to work in a Christian's life. And I believe that's what James is teaching here. James is saying, some people try to use these verses to teach a work salvation, but they clearly teach a salvation that works. Paul was addressing the path to justification. James was addressing the proof of justification. Do you understand that? Romans chapter 3, chapter 4, Paul's talking about justification. Paul says a lot about justification. And Paul says you're justified by works. I mean, you're justified by faith, not by works. He makes it very clear. You're justified by faith, not by works. James says you're justified by works and not faith alone. So either James and Paul are disagreeing and they're in opposition, or James and Paul are saying the same thing a different way. Paul said what James said. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But you know what he says right after that? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So Paul said, yeah, it's by grace through faith, but it's a faith that works. Over and over and over, if you read through the teaching of the Apostle Paul, Paul says the same thing James says. Paul says, yes, faith is by grace. Salvation is by faith It's by grace through faith. I'll get it right here in a minute, Brother Brian. It's by grace through faith, but that faith produces works, and that's what James is teaching. James is saying a real, genuine faith works. So what's he saying about Abraham and Rahab? He's saying that proved their faith. Who did it prove it to? God knows they're saved. There's some debate about that. Some people believe that it proves it to man, that we're justified before God, that Abraham in chapter 15 and verse number 6, when he believed God, it was counted to him to righteousness. That moment he was in God's eyes, he was justified in the eyes of God. But in chapter number 22, he was justified, some say, in the eyes of man. I don't know. Wasn't nobody up there but Abraham. But everybody knows about it. We're talking about it today. So it could be that he's talking about it before man. It could be that he's talking about for himself. It's a way for Abraham to know that his faith is real. See, a faith that works helps. God knows we're saved. When we get saved, when we trust Christ as Savior, the moment we truly put our faith in Jesus Christ, he sees us as justified, as if justified, never sinned. God sees me clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But can I tell you, I don't always see myself that way. But when I look back over my life and I look at the things that God has done in my life, the works that God has done in my life, the test. You remember we were talking in chapter number 1. We talked about if any man endureth temptation when he's tried. In chapter number 1, I think it's verse number 12. I used Abraham as an example there. God tested Abraham's faith. And it come forth as good, gold. And so did Job. We used Job and Abraham and Job, how that God tested Job, and it came forth. Can I tell you, that's what I believe James is teaching here. He's saying a real, genuine faith can get put to the test. It works. If your faith doesn't work, it's not real. It's not profitable. It's not powerful. It's vain. It's empty. It's useless. And so James is saying, faith without works is dead. He's saying, if you got real faith, it's going to work. Because faith works. Amen? I know there's a whole lot more that could be said here, but I think I'm going to stop. I hope I made that kind of clear. I hope Pastor comes up and says he agrees with me, okay? So, there's a lot there. But I honestly believe it's just as clear as it can be. I'll admit, I go into it already. I talked about partiality last week. I go into it kind of partial because I believe this is the Word of God. And so I don't go into it trying to make the Bible make sense. I go into it trying to make me make sense because the Bible's right. Paul and James were not in opposition. They're in agreement. And I think this makes it real clear how they agree. James is not saying that we're justified through works like some people would try to say. James is saying, no, you're justified through faith, but that faith works. It's just the natural action. It's what it produces. If you were to use a tree, it's the root. Faith is the root of an apple tree. Works are the apples on the tree. The natural thing for an apple tree to do is to produce apples. The natural thing for faith to do is work. It always does. Faith that doesn't work is not faith. That's what James is saying. Let's pray. You can stand to your feet if you would.